Turn with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I can tell that there are going to be some portions of Scripture that I preach from very often throughout my ministry. Some I'm just going to go to a lot more than others. And the reason is because I need them. I just need them. There are some scriptures that I'm just drawn to. They speak to me in moments where I need to hear a word from my Lord. Sometimes I'm just preaching to me. I had a set of notes and I started and said, I'm going to selfishly preach to myself. And I thought, well, I'm not going to say that. I just said it. I'm going to selfishly preach to myself. Sometimes I just need a word from my Lord. And there are certain scriptures that every time I read them, they speak to me. And I know we all have certain scriptures that the Lord has just burned them into your heart. And this is one of those scriptures. I personally needed this. If you are anything like me, and I know you, you need this scripture just as much as I do. I know you do. So I'm going to read this. I'm about to read this out loud like I do. And as I read this, don't listen to my voice. Okay? With your spiritual ears. If the Lord has given you spiritual ears, listen to the voice of the one who saved you. All right? Listen to the voice of the one who chose you. Chose you. Listen to the voice of the one who left heaven for you. Does that register? Left heaven to come get you. And walked this earth bearing all the heartaches and all the sorrow of life for you, and stood in the place of judgment and shame and guilt for you, not just his people, you, as accusation after accusation for the things that you committed. As he was accused for the things you committed, he opened not his mouth in his own defense for you. He allowed himself to be led as an innocent sheep to the slaughter for you. He allowed his own blood to be shed as a sin payment for you. And he died for you and was buried for you and rose again for you. And now ever liveth to make intercession for you. As I read this, don't listen to my voice. See if God's Spirit will allow you to hear it in your heart as the voice of our Lord and Savior, all right? Matthew 11, look with me at verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you need that as badly as I do? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is a simple statement to a simple people with a simple outcome. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you need it, come. Just like he told his disciples, come and dine. It's all here. Come and dine. If you are labored and heavy laden, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you rest. What is it to be labored and heavy laden? What is that? What is it for God's people to be labored and heavy laden? What are we labored and heavy laden over? I'll give you three things. This is so real in the life of every child of God. Three things: sin, salvation, and circumstance. I'm going to ask all of us this question. I'm going to say you, okay? I'm including me with you. I include myself in this. I write these notes out and I think about these messages and I think about you. I think about those who will be here and who I'm going to say this to. Do you know what you are? Do you know what you are? I'm going to say you, meaning us. Have you gotten a good look at you? I don't mean what's on the outside. You know, we look in a mirror. We can look into a mirror and get a good look at ourselves in a mirror. Have you seen in yourself what I see in myself? Selfishness. Hate to be so honest, but I can't help it. Greed. Pride. Number one thing the Lord hates. Arrogance. Vileness. Wicked imaginations. Sin. Just lump it all into one word, sin. Do you see sin in you? Do you have honestly no choice but to say with David, I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Ever before me. Is that you? Turn with me over to Psalm 38. Now, either this is us or it's not. As we hear this and read this, we will either say in ourselves that this speaks on our behalf and describes us, or it doesn't. One of the two. And I'm going to go ahead and confess, this is me. This is my honest confession. This is me. Psalm 38, verse 1, it says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me. You know, he said to Saul of Tarsus, he said, it's hard to kick against those pricks, isn't it? Thine arrows stick fast in me, and thine hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. I can't rest. I can't just rest in what I see in myself and in my flesh because of my sin. Verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. They're heavy. I'm labored under them. I'm heavy laden under them. Verse 5, he said, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. He said, when I take a step back and look at myself, I see a fool. I see a fool. What I am, what I do, what my priorities are, it's all foolishness. That's all it is. Verse 6, he said, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. I just feel so depressed and sorrowful and just, I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease and there's no soundness in my flesh. That's what it is to be labored and heavy laden. It's to be labored and heavy over what I am, what I do, and what I see in myself. That will make a man labored and heavy laden over his salvation. Being labored and heavy laden over sin. That's what causes a man or a woman to be labored and heavy laden over salvation. David said in Psalm 130, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, oh Lord, who shall stand? What hope do I have? What hope do I have? If that's what God's word says, then what hope do I have? All the disciples said, Lord, then who can be saved? What hope do I have? What hope is there for me? That's a heaviness that every single one of God's people have felt the load of. When the Lord revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus, he was on the way to Damascus. The scripture says he fell down, didn't he? He fell down under the heaviness and he cried, Lord, what would you have me to do? When God revealed himself to that Philippian jailer, the scripture says he fell down and he cried, sirs, what must I do? Isaiah fell down. Peter fell down. John fell down at his feet as a dead man. Oh, the heaviness, the weightiness of the thought of being judged outside of Christ. The fear of being judged outside of Christ. That's what it is to be labored and heavy laden. It's a burden over sin. It's a burden over salvation. And nothing in this world can relieve that burden. Nothing in this world. A man can try to come to himself, come to his senses. A man can try to come to the law. And that's what men do. They try to come to Moses. What Moses wrote, try to come to the law, come to morality. A man can try to come to doctrine and come to sacrifice and come to service and all of those things. But none of those things will relieve the burden. None of those things. But this is what our Lord said. He said, if you come to me, if you come to me, I'll take the burden away. And he does, doesn't he? Boy, he does. I love the story of Pilgrim's Progress. I just love that story. Christian, the pilgrim. It starts, he has this burden on his back and he can't find relief from it. And that is the burden God lays on all of his people. When that burden over sin comes, when that realization of sin comes and the weight of that sin comes, that's grace before grace, isn't it? He has this burden on his back and he can't find relief from it. He's searching everywhere and talking to everybody he can talk to, trying to find relief, and he cannot find it until evangelist points him to yon wicket gate. He said, there's a straight and narrow way. You follow that straight and narrow way, and he said, it'll lead you to a cross. Like the song says, there my burdened soul found liberty. There your burdened soul will find. You go straight down that narrow, narrow way. And it says he told his family, he told his friends that that's where he was going, and he wanted all of them to come with him. And they all laughed him to scorn. They all made fun of him. And as he set out, they all started pulling at him, saying, don't go, don't leave us, stay here with us. And he said, this place, this is the city of destruction. Destruction's coming. And we have to leave. And they said, no, no, it's going to be fine. You just stay right here with us. Don't leave us. You'll make us sad if you leave us, if you choose that over us. And it says he stuck his fingers in his ear and he started running, crying, life, life, eternal life. And he ran down that straight and narrow way and ran all the way up to the foot of the cross. And it says when he reached the foot of the cross, he looked up. And as he looked up, the burden fell off of his back. Life, eternal life. There's only one place. There's only one way. There's only one person who can relieve the weight of our heavy burden. And that's the Christ of the cross. It's the Christ who suffered on the cross. The whole reason he came was for the purpose of carrying our sorrows, bearing our griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's Isaiah 53. I love how Isaiah 54 starts out by saying, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. He bore it all. When it comes to sin and when it comes to salvation and when it comes to any and every circumstance that brings a weighted burden, a weighted labor to us, this is what he said. If you come to me, and we've experienced this, we know this is so. He said, if you come to me, if you bring it to me, I'll give you rest from it. I'll give you relief from it. I'll give you liberty from it. I'll take that burden from you and I'll bear it myself. How many times has that been proven to us? After the Lord finally allows us to come to a place where we go to Him and think, oh, what relief. Now I remember it's in His hands. Now it's been turned over to Him. He said, you bring it to me and I'll give you rest from it. That sounds pretty good. That sounds like something we ought to do. Come to Him and find rest. Now, here's the question for the night. How do we do that? How do we come to Him? How does a sinner come to Christ? We stand up here and say, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Do you need rest? Do you need relief? Come to Christ. Here's the question. How does a sinner come to Christ? There are so many verses of Scripture that we could look at right now. So many. Let me show you two. All right? These two verses, they're going to summarize it all. This is how a sinner comes to Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." How do we come to Christ? We come with no ability of our own. That's how we come. With no ability of our own. He said, no man can come. This word tells us that those who come to Christ, those who the Father draws to Christ, are spiritually blind. We could look at many verses of Scripture that say that. Blind. They can't even see where they're going. They're blind. They have no idea which way to go. They're blind. This word tells us that those that the Father draws to Christ are spiritually lame. All those that come, they're spiritually lame. What that means is they can't walk. How do you come to Christ if you can't walk? This word tells us that those that the Father draws to Christ are spiritually dead. Dead. You talk about no ability. Dead. How do we come to Christ? We come with no ability of our own. We come crying. This is what coming to Christ is. We cry, "Lord, I cannot come to you. My only hope is that you have come to me." That's what it is to come to Christ. I can't come. "Lord, it's your choice, not mine. Here I stand. I can do no other." Meaning, I'm just here. It's your choice. It's not mine. It's your will. It's not mine. It's your work. It's not mine. I'm absolutely helpless. That's what coming to Christ is. "Lord, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I'm at my wit's end. I've staggered to and fro, and now I'm at my wit's end. Absolutely helpless." That's how we come to Christ. We come with no ability of our own. All right, now turn with me to Isaiah 55. Here's the other one. Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." How do we come to Christ? Empty. Totally empty. No money. Without money, without price. We come with nothing to offer Him. Nothing to offer Him. Nothing in our hand to make a payment with. We bring nothing. Nothing but our emptiness. That's how a sinner comes to Christ. Helpless and empty. Helpless and empty. And if that's you, number one, what a blessing that is. You know how miserable it is to be helpless and empty? But that's God's blessing to us. That's the only way we can come to Christ. And if that's you, if that's me, then let's not listen to this voice right here, okay? Listen to the one who said, "Come unto me." How do we come? Helpless and empty. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'll give you rest. And I'll tell you this, if we have come to Him for the burden of our sin and the burden of our salvation, then we can come to Him for the burden of every circumstance in this life. Every single circumstance. Sunday night, we looked at Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Everything will bring good. But that doesn't mean everything's easy. And every circumstance that comes our way, if we have come to Christ for the burden of our sin and the burden of our salvation, then I'm telling you, we can come to Him for every single circumstance that life brings to us. And I've preached this many times, but I just need it again. And you need it again. We need to be reminded again because it is so true. It is so true. This is what David said in Psalm 37. I'll just quote it to you. He said, "Roll thy way upon the Lord." If we could just do that. "Roll thy way upon the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Peter said in 1 Peter 5, he said, "Cast all your care upon Him. He careth for you." He cares for you. If David's words are not enough, if Peter's words are not enough, listen to the voice of the Savior Himself. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Go helpless, go empty, but just go. Just go. And I say that one sinner to another. Just me to you. Just go. I know that there are things that we all worry over, fret over, sorrow over. Just go to Him. Just go to Him. Go helpless. Go empty. But go to Him. Take it to Him. Whatever it is, take it to Him. He will give you rest over it. Now, let me leave us with this, all right? I'll close with this. Go back one more time to John 6. This is a wonderful verse of Scripture. John 6, verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Just go. Just go. Go helpless, go empty, but just go. He said, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He has never turned away one of His children who come crying in need. Never. Not one time. That ought to bring rest to us. That'll bring some peace and rest. Go to Him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." All right, let's all stand together.